Hello, this is Tiger Feet from Secret Agent Cat, and you're listening to Guildcast. This message will self-destruct.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this 8th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me, once again, is my co-host, Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, I'm pretty good. I'm excited about all the Guild Wars stuff this week.
Yeah, it's been a pretty exciting week. We learned a little bit about death and healing. There's been a lot of updates in Guild Wars 1 as well with the Worgen Krytus stuff, and it's been ReNet guys, I guess, have been keeping pretty busy. I mean, you'd think they were just sitting around, right? Not really doing
well,
anything.
I always heard that they just sit around with their feet up.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that game developers just play games all day.
Yeah, and so do game journalists.
Yes. That's very true.
Later on, we'll talk about how I haven't had time to play anything.
Yeah. So what have you been up to this week?
I have been trying to catch up with the Worgen Krytus stuff, and this is a little embarrassing. But the last Worgen Krytus quest came out, what was it, like 2-3 weeks ago? I did it about an hour ago. Seriously, just trying to get caught up. So.
Well, that's better than me, though. I haven't done it.
Playing some DDO.
Cool.
Yeah. And you?
I've been remodeling my kitchen, which has nothing to do with Guild Wars. I could probably consider my kitchen before kind of like, well, I guess the searing happened to my kitchen. I'll say that.
But it's all, the thing is that it's all better now.
Yeah. Well, it's getting there. Yeah.
You've been crafting.
Yes, I've been crafting wood plank vinyl laminate flooring.
Flooring. I don't know. I kind of dig the way it looks. I'm looking at that going, I need to go to Home Depot and check that out. So, actually, and the funny thing is we've been talking about this all week. I was remodeling my living room, and that's why I haven't been playing. So,
yeah.
We're too busy tearing up our real houses and not messing with housing in game.
We're like grown-ups or something.
Ew.
What's with that?
Ew. I got to go play a console game or something. Quick. Ew.
Well, let's get into the news here because there's quite a bit. And what we'll do is we'll start out with the new information on Guild Wars 2, and this is about healing and death. This is pretty exciting because it's a pretty big deal. A lot of people, it actually answers a lot of questions that a lot of people have been asking. You know, people want to know for sure. Like, it seems like there was still, even though we keep saying, yeah, there's no monk class, people were still kind of like, are you really sure there's no monk class? Like, yeah. Seriously?
Did you not just misplace it?
Yeah, did they just rename it? Or, you know, but they have completely taken out a healing class, and there's a blog post on GuildWars2.com, and this is by John Peters. He says he's one of the game designers on Guild Wars 2, and he explains in great detail in a very well-written blog post about how both healing and death will play in Guild Wars 2. So let's kind of cover death first, because I think it's really interesting. There are essentially two stages to death in the game. There's a downed kind of status where, let's say you're in a battle and all your hit points get down, so you literally go down. Like, you're not dead, you don't have to res, but you're like downed, you know, in a downed state. So, but from this point, you actually have a set of downed skills that you can use. Some of them that they describe in here is like a warrior has the ability to throw a rock, which I think is kind of funny. I mean, you picture a warrior in full plate armor just laying on the ground, and he can't really do anything but reach over and grab a rock and throw it at, you know, at the enemy. I just think it's kind of funny. They said that there's the Ellie has like a grasping earth kind of a thing, and it's almost like these are last ditch efforts that they add in there for when you're just, you know, almost dead. You're not quite dead, but you have just enough energy to do this one last thing to kind of see what you can do. After this, though, you can still be attacked. So if you're downed and you're still attacked and you're killed, I mean, you can still get to a killed, what they call it, defeated point. then that's like a traditional where you have to res, you have to pick a res point, or someone can revive you from within the party. And one thing that's important to note here, though, is that they mention that when you pick a waypoint, when you want to res at a waypoint, you actually can pick one that's, that you've previously discovered. So it's kind of like, in Guild Wars 1, they send you to the nearest, or in theory, the nearest. Mm-hmm. A lot of other games are like that, too. Well, now you can actually pick one, any of them that you've discovered. Well, I just wonder, I mean, my mind speculates, goes on speculation mode here, but I wonder if that means that fast travel will still be there. You know, the ability to pick points.
I think it's going to be. I mean, we'll have paid map travel was the big debate last week. I mean, we know that it's going to be there, but it's going to cost a small amount of gold.
Yeah.
And that's going to, since these are waypoints, those are the paid waypoints, you'll have to pay a little bit of gold to travel that way.
Yeah, and that actually works also when you're defeated as well. Like even if you're going to res at a waypoint, you still have to pay a few gold to get there. Or you can sit around and wait for a party member to revive you. And they do mention that reviving is something that everyone will be able to do at level 1. It's just one of those things that you can do. So it's kind of like having the res sig, in pre-searing. It's kind of like that. So that's exciting. I mean, the big thing that they're trying to get across here is that they don't want to punish for having for dying. They say that pretty much being defeated in battle is punishment enough. They don't want to punish you again. But I guess the only thing that really stacks here is the fact that if you're revived, or I'm sorry, if you're downed, and you revive multiple times, it actually takes longer each time to come back. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the only penalty is if it's repeated, you know, there's no hit to your stats or anything like that. And you don't have to, like they actually point out in here, you don't have to be a ghost and go search for your corpse, which is kind of a dig at World of Warcraft, I guess.
Maybe.
But so you don't have to do this stuff. They want to make sure that they're not punishing you for dying. Make it a little easier, a little bit more of just an experience, not a positive experience, but just an experience, rather than punishment. Mm-hmm. Another thing to note here is that when you're in a downed state, you can actually come back out of it if you kill an enemy. So if you, throw a rock hard enough and you do some good enough damage to finish someone off, that you will actually rally, what's called rallying back to life, or back to a fighting position, so you can get out of that down state. So I think that's interesting because then it makes it so that, you're just, I guess it's, again, it's like Lotro, where you don't really die, you just lose all your morale, and you kind of go down on one knee, and you can, you can be brought back, and I guess it's kind of that same idea, although it does take it that one extra step further where you can actually die and be rezzed. But I mean, I don't know. What do you think about this new type of thing?
I'll tell you what. Here's the thing that stood out to me that I liked so much, and I know it's a small detail, but I think the ability to pick your waypoint when you come back was such a good idea, and I think part of this is because I've been playing a lot of DDO lately, and if you've played DDO for more than 10 minutes, you've heard somebody at some point say, oh, I forgot to rebind. Because you've got that spirit binder, and there's only one place when you release that you can go back. And if you forget to rebind when you switch quests and move, then you spawn like a zillion miles away at your previous binding point, and you have to run and run and run to get back.
Yeah.
Which, it's pretty instant, so it's not that huge of a deal, but it's a pain in the butt. And I love that they have worked around this.
Well, there are actually a lot of games like that. That's a pretty traditional, WoW has Soulstones, mm-hmm. and Ion does that, and that is something that's always bothered me too, because it's one of those things, you get into the game, you're going forward and you're just into it, and you forget to bind your soul to this other soul stone or this other rally mm-hmm. point that you find, and then you die, so you go all the way back to somewhere else, and you're like, oh, you got to be kidding me! Now I have to run all the way back, and being at that feeling right there where you're just completely disappointed, I mean. It's good in the fact that it teaches you a lesson, I think that maybe, but these are games. We're supposed to be having fun, not being taught lessons all the time. You know what I mean?
Not running around.
Yeah. So I don't know. I like it too. I think it's pretty cool. I'm I know there are a lot of people out there who are kind of more hardcore, you know, like they like the maybe the way that different games do it, where, you know, there's a huge penalty, stuff like Darkfall or one of those types of games where you lose all your items, you know, Ultima Online was like that. So I guess it's from one extreme to the other, you know. You're not.
That's what permadeath guilds are for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you could play it like that if you wanted to, but yeah, I like it though. I think it's a good idea. I like the two-stage thing. I think it's pretty cool.
I do too. Now, something, just the overall mechanic, I really enjoy. It makes a lot of sense to me. Something that has always bugged me when you're fighting in Guild Wars, I actually said this in the write-up that I did for Massively, if you're half dead, you know, you should kind of feel like you're half dead or you're almost dead. Mm. And it always bugged me that, you know, I'm at like 10% health and I'm fighting just as strongly as I was at the very beginning.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's actually a really good point.
Yeah, so when you're downed, it's that nice little halfway point. I guess not halfway, but still.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about that because, yeah, you have one hit point left and you're still, you know, shooting all your best spells out, but there should be that kind of transition between completely defeated and able to fight, you know, at full force. So, yeah, I guess that is it's kind of a good alternative.
And transition is a word that I wish had popped into my head yesterday because I was looking for that and couldn't quite find it there.
So, so that kind of explains the death mechanic. And, oh, there I go. I said mechanic. I got to watch
that's
that.
Okay, because that's what it is. That's what it is. I love it. I really like the way they've done this. I like the way they've put it together.
Yeah.
So you can say mechanic because it's such an awesome system.
Yeah. So I guess in this article also they explain a little bit more about kind of the holy trinity of what class, you know, teams should be made of, which is DPS, tank, and healing, and they want to make sure that it just goes beyond that. You know what I mean? Like with DPS, okay, DPS stands for damage per second. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a focus for a lot of people. They say, you know, we need that DPS. Well, the way that ArenaNet is explaining it now, they want it to be more than damage per second. They want it to be just damage in general. You know, either it's damage over time, area of effect, or projectiles. You know, there are different ways to do damage, and they just want to make sure that people realize that, you know, in Guild Wars 2, there's going to be so much more, so many other ways to deal damage. It's not just going to be all about DPS. And if you're not a DPSer, then, you know, we're not having you in our party. It's nothing like that.
Right.
And also with healing, now this is a big one because of the fact that the monk has been taken out, you know, and I think it's funny here. They actually say it, you know, we're not having the monk in here and you just, we'll give you a moment is basically what they say. Like we'll give you a moment
to
get over that.
Take a deep breath. It'll be okay.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of people are upset by that, because they've been so used to playing that role, you know, playing the monk and being needed as much as a monk is and everything. And we actually, you know, we talked about this before, but I think we actually touched on a lot of the ideas that he talks about here, where you don't want to have one class that's so important like that, but also you don't want to have that class just watching health bars all day. You know, you want them to experience, you want everyone to experience it. And when you take out, when you have a group and it doesn't have a monk in it, the opposing group doesn't, like, they don't just go automatically, okay, we need to kill a monk because now there's no monk. So they have to kind of go with real strategy, you know what I mean? And they have to try to figure out what else they should do. So I think they found that interesting when people were doing that and they said, hey, why don't we take the monk out of everything? So they're, you know, everyone has to think of new strategies. And I think that's a good idea. But as far as that Holy Trinity goes, they took out the heal part of it because they wanted to make it more about support, you know, and this really kind of struck a personal nerve with me here because I feel that the reason I don't like to play monks is because exactly like they say here, the monk is more of a reactive class than a proactive class. You know, you're watching things and after they happen, then you're doing your thing. Where the other classes are kind of, you know, going in the battle and doing their thing. I don't like to play like that. And if I do play a monk, I like to play a buffer, you know, a prot monk or something like that, because I like to be the one that's kind of setting things up. And I think that's what they're saying here. You know, if you're any other class and you just have these this little set of healing skills on your bar, they're going to be things like this. Ellie has a new skill that actually rains down healing.
I love that skill. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that sounds really cool. So it's like they say it's like a healing rain that rejuvenates allies in an area. That to me is really cool because it's kind of like a thing that's healing while you're still fighting. You know, you can throw up this rain and then fight amongst, you know, still in the battle, and you don't have to worry about watching the skill bars. I really like that. I really enjoy that, and I enjoy that the proactiveness of that versus the reactiveness.
I do too. Now, here's something that I thought of yesterday, and I actually wanted to see what you thought since you've had the hands-on. This makes me think of that healing circle in Terra.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
played that.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. It is kind of like that. But, you know, the healing circle in Terra reminded me of wells in Guild Wars, you know, necro wells. And
so you throw it down and then, hey, everybody get over here.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually literally what was happening. Is the healer in Terra was saying, everybody, you know, rally around this green circle here and for the big group heal. And that's just, I like that because it's kind of a defined way of doing it. Then you're not looking at skill bars and clicking on them, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
I wonder, that seemed, again, this is the reactive versus proactive, like you were talking about. It seems like you'd almost throw down that circle and then start begging people, hello, you know, waving your arms around going, get in the circle, please. But with the healing rain, it's more throwing it down on them where they are or throwing it down in front of them and letting them run through it.
Yeah, it's almost like where the heat of the battle is, you can throw that right there. Instead of, you still have that problem where you have to chase down, you know, the lone ranger who wants to, lone ranger is kind of not really meant at rangers in particular, but, you know, the lone player who runs off, you know, off the radar and wants to do things their own way. You're never going to be able to heal that person anyway, so.
I don't even try, and that's why I'm a bad monk. I'm just like, see ya. I'm over here. If you need anything, come to me.
Yeah. So I think it still plays into the traditional way of healing where, you know, everybody has to kind of stick together, which is good. That's the way it should be. But, I think
that
I really like the way they're doing this. And they're saying that even, you know, like the warrior has healing skills, you know, every class has, and of course they can only use the warrior and elementalists right now because that's all, you know, all they've really said, but they don't want to slip and be like, and the necro, oh wait, I mean the mesmer, oh wait, I mean.
Crap. So, you know it's going to feel so good for them when they can actually talk about more than two classes.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it'll be great. I wonder if they're going to retroactively go back and change all these articles.
No.
I'm sure they wouldn't. okay, so the third part of this Holy Trinity is the tank. Everyone needs a tank, but what it is it's not as much a heavily armored warrior, which is what you think of when you think of tank. That's not the point of it. The point of that part of the Trinity is control, you know, crowd control. It's not so much, I mean, it's a lot of, you know, taking damage, absorbing damage, but also controlling where the mob is so that everyone else can do their thing. And that's really what it's about. And that's what they're kind of talking about here. You know, they say, like, in Guild Wars 1, there were things like knockdown, interrupt, weakness, blind, cripple. These are the kind of the crowd control types of things. But they're going beyond that. You know, they want to make sure that you're able to do a lot more. But each class has this ability to kind of draw aggro, control the aggro, and bring it to one specified area so that everyone else can do their thing. And I like that too. I mean, it's just kind of a no-brainer, I guess. That's something that's very important in any team.
Well, it just makes sense. And I actually find myself saying that about Guild Wars 2 so much. Well, yeah, it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to fall into place really, really nicely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think a lot of people are concerned over when a game company says that they want to redefine how games are played or what MMOs, you know, they want to redefine how things are done. Star Wars The Old Republic is a good example because they want to redefine how stories are told. You know, they don't want to make it so you're just skipping quest text and you actually have that traditional BioWare storytelling thing in there. Well, with Guild Wars 2, they're doing that, but they're also not redefining anything. They are, but it's not to the point where it's completely different, you know, where it's like they just decided to throw some random stuff in there, because there are certain things that have worked for over 10 years now in MMOs, and that Holy Trinity is one of them. You know, it's just worked as a team mechanic, as a team dynamic that's always worked. Well, they're not changing it. They're just kind of broadening it and redefining it and saying that this, you know, when you get down to the core of why this Holy Trinity works, it's not because of healing, it's because of support. It's not because of tanking, it's because of control. You know, and I think that's really, it's an important distinction, and it shows how just brilliant these guys are to break it down like that and say that these are the important parts that everyone, they can't really, maybe they don't really realize that those are the important parts because they're so used to saying DPS, heal, tank, you know.
But they're not looking at the core of what it means, and that's kind of what Aned is teaching us here.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's essentially it for that blog post. I highly recommend people go read it because it tells a lot more of what we kind of, you know, went over in more detail. And this is one of those things that it's another one of those things that just gets you excited for, you know, what they have in store for us. But yeah, definitely check that out. We'll put that in the show notes for today so you can read it for yourself. But moving on to Guild Wars 1 and what's going on there. You know, showing that the game is still being updated quite regularly. Let's talk about the kind of Warren Krita updates. Do you, you've been following this?
Yeah, and I'm kind of excited about this. I'm a little sad about it, too. I've got mixed feelings here. I know we had talked before, and I had said, you know, we've taken out three of these mantle bosses, or we've taken out three of these Inquisitors, and we've got four left. So I figured, all right, that means we've got four more quests, and then something big is going to happen. And they kind of fooled us. They put a little twist on that. Rather than give us four more quests, they're telling us that while we've been off fighting these little battles, the Mantle are gathering their forces over at, I think it's Demetra, which is an area that we've talked about before, and they had hinted that there was something going on there, and we weren't sure what it was. So now we found out the White Mantle have gathered there and they are ready to attack Lion's Arch and take out Princess Selma, which is kind of not what I saw coming quite so soon. So we've been hearing from Murrow is back. I think we talked before that he got carted off to Cantha by the White Mantle and the Peacekeepers. So he's back and he actually, let's see, July 7th, 8th, and actually twice on the 8th he reported and just let us know that this is what's going on. So what we've got in-game are two new quests that came up, and these are actually pretty high XP and reward quests. You get 15,000 and 30,000 XP for them, and then gold and some royal gifts. But the first quest is, hey, the Mantle, we found out they're coming. They're on their way, and you need to get out there and rally the troops and bring people to come help protect Princess Selma. So you do that, and then you go to the Battle for Lion's Arch is the final quest. And we've got all of our allies gathered, and we have to fight just waves upon waves upon waves of White Mantle and take them out. If Princess Selma dies, then you're done. We've had some of those Protect People quests before. So it's pretty cool that this has all come together so suddenly.
Yeah, it's almost like they're building up, or they figured out that they have this big news that they want to throw down on us a little earlier than they suspected, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, but what I love, do you remember the Asura Blim? He was kind of hanging out in Radasum. He's got, he's in there to help, and he and Zin are kind of hanging out, and they've got their little time when they're supposed to deploy their defenses. And you've got Blim standing there going, now? How about now? What about now? And then it's finally time, and they go, now, and he just kind of stands there. And Zin is yelling at him, Blim, do it now. And he goes, now? But you said no. So you've got all of this little stuff going on in the background, and I really love that. But anyway, so once you finish all of this up, we finally found out what these Medal of Honor are for. Medals of Honor. You know, we've been waiting for that for ages, trying to find out. And I know some people went digging through the files and found some weapon information. And they were right. We've got new weapons that are golds and greens and absolutely gorgeous. So we've got a collector for those now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. Now, the thing that kind of makes me have mixed feelings about this, once you do this, you know, we've had all these cool little places. We've had the Shining Blade Camp out in the middle of nowhere. Once you're all done with this, that stuff in the Explorables goes away for you. And which, again, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because everything's done. You've finished this. But, you know, I kind of liked having that out there. It was a cool little thing. And it's character-wide. It's not account-wide. It's by character. So once that character's done, you're done. And it's not all out there anymore.
Hmm. So they're obviously building up to something. And when we think about the things that we know about, as far as big info drops coming up, I mean, what do you think they're building up to? I mean, do you think that maybe they're preparing us for when Ghosts of Ascalon comes out? When is that, 2 weeks from now? Or
in 2 weeks? Oh, my gosh, yeah. I can't wait to get my hands on that. You know, I'm kind of wondering, because I cannot imagine, and I don't think anybody would argue, that they're going to say, okay, now it's over and we're all done.
No, yeah.
And just never talk about it anymore. That's not going to happen.
No.
But we have asked before, you know, what are we going to see of the Shining Blade and the White Mantle in Guild Wars 2? And they've kind of hinted, you know, we got some version of the standard. We're not ready to talk about this yet. Mm-hmm. My theory was that the White Mantle are going to be, it's going to be reversed, and the White Mantle are going to be the ones hiding out in the woods, skulking around, trying to plan their revenge on the Shining Blade. Mm. So I'm wondering if we're going to maybe find out how that happens. You know, maybe we get, I hate to say the history of the White Mantle and the Shining Blade, but from a Guild Wars 2 perspective, I wonder if we're going to get that history now.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
And I'm wondering if we're going to have some White Mantle enemies that are still running around Kryta.
Hmm.
I don't know. We've got so much speculation. But right now, I'm just trying to get through the stinking quests.
So, tell me a little bit about those quests themselves.
You know, the one that we did today, and this is just, again, this is the build-up. It's so typical of ArenaNet. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I did the one just before mustering a response today, so I have the two big ones left. And they have gotten harder and harder. I remember like a month ago, I was writing up walkthroughs for these and saying, you know, it's just not hard. I went out there with my triple necros and just tore through it. It's no big deal. You don't have to do it in hard mode because there's no different reward. So just, you know, grab a couple of henchmen even and go do it. It's fine.
Oh, so this is your fault.
This is my fault because it got worse.
Nice one.
You know, and after a while I had to stop saying that.
So everyone can thank Ruby for... for making art.
Well, I started, it was just such a funny progression, because I really did start, I just went out there with my Sabway heroes. And yes, I still use Sabway, I'm boring. Well, there's another group of necros that I just, I don't care for that one. I'm not trendy. But I just go out there with my three necros and burn through it and move on with my life. And after a while I started thinking, man, I need to, like, bring some henchmen or something, because I need more bodies from my minion master. something needs to change here. This is getting hard.
I think Alicia is considered a minion master's best friend.
She is like a Play-Doh minion factory. She's crazy. She's got tissue paper armor, and she is a tank, man. Get out of her way. So, poor Alicia. She's never going to live that down. But then this morning I got ready to do it. I was begging for help from guildies. I was going, you guys got to come help me. And we got our butts kicked, respawned at the beginning and had to run back.
Oh.
So it has gotten really hard. And actually the guildmate that came and helped me after we finished, he thought I didn't have time to do the next two. And he said, all right, now, you know, check your armor, get cons. It's about to get a lot worse. I went, oh my gosh. So, it's just, but they really have ramped it up. I mean, this is an actual challenge, and it's been a while since I had one of those in Guild Wars.
Hmm. Well, that's good.
So I like it. But the storyline has gone across really nicely. Was it GDC that they first introduced this? Where did they hand out the flyers?
Yeah, it was GDC.
Yeah, it was GDC. The entire storyline here has flowed so well, and they've maintained this and progressed it so regularly that I think everybody's really invested in this.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. It's something that has kept changing because as much as I love Guild Wars, things like the Zacian quests after a while get a little boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're kind of going, ugh, Varesh again, do I? You know, you guys, I'll do it. Tyhark Orchard is tomorrow. I'll just catch you then. Because we know what's coming. And it's still a great thing. But it's just kind of fallen into a little bit of a rut. And I don't think that's ArenaNet's fault. I think that we're also hyped about something new that we all ground our faces off. And mm-hmm. now we're bored with it. Yeah. But then at the end, we finally found out about the Medals of Honor. And we've got new weapons, and we love us some new weapons. So,
yeah,
I have to link to the wiki pages on these because they're amazing.
Yeah, you're showing me the Ellie one. Those are pretty sweet looking.
Of course, I was showing you the Ellie one. I love it. But there are some unique skins in there. Some of them have skins that other weapons have, but some of them are unique, and I need to get my hands on those. That's War and Krita.
So let's go ahead and get into some of these email. We have a ton of email, which I love.
I'm glad.
Yeah, it's funny because when we mention something, usually we ask people to talk about something, and we get a lot of response, which is always great. So here's one. Let's see. This is from we read one from this person last time, Aksha, and so they say. One more question. Actually, they wrote this like right after we recorded the last one, I think. It was like just in time. It says, since Guild Wars 2 will be a mostly, I think, persistent world, how will health work? And then they say, let me break down that question for you. You guys know how Guild Wars 1 had a mob-to-mob health system. You kill the current mob or two, and then you regenerate. Short-term battles, quick regen, move on, kill next mob, regen, and so on. Will this be carried on, or will we get huge health bars with potions and potion-making skills? How would that mechanic work? They touched on it a little bit. I mean, we know we're having health bars, of course. And we talked today about the downed versus defeated status of your death. I would imagine that everything else, though, will probably stay the same. Again, none of this is confirmed or anything. But, I mean, we know we're going to have stuff like regen. You know, he's talking about regen, huge health bars with potions. I imagine we're still going to have potions, potion-making skills. They've talked about crafting being a much more prominent part of Guild Wars 2, so I would imagine we're going to have potion-making skills, which I would actually be really, really excited about.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think that the basic what he's asking here is, well, we have, you know, like you get hurt and then you regen, things like that. That's kind of a basic thing that just happens in all RPGs, let alone MMOs. So I think that's probably something that they're going to keep in there. But it's also something they haven't really talked about, probably because of the fact that it's just kind of a common thing. Wouldn't you say?
Well, now I'm trying to decide if they're going to come up with something and just completely wow. But yeah, it seems like a pretty common, that's just how it works. And I'm tempted to say that they're just not even going to address it because it's so obvious, but then they'll prove me wrong and I'll look stupid. So, and they'll come out with something just completely fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know. I tend to believe that they'll probably just keep it, that part of it, the same. Yeah. Okay. So on to this next email, this is from, this is from Crisco, who wrote to us a few episodes back. He says, hi, Ruby and that other dude. Oh, now come on.
I love this guy.
Says, just finished listening to the latest episode, which was great as always. Just a couple comments that I wanted to bring up. First point is about the bard class idea. I think it's a great idea as long as there is a friendly fire mechanic. This is just a kind of a random hope I have for Guild Wars 2, an identify all button. So much time spent IDing items one by one. Perhaps if Deckard Cain isn't too busy, he could come visit Tyria. I was also wondering if there is info that you two are looking forward to more than anything else. For example, I can't wait to read a blog post about the specifics about guilds in general. Now to the real point of the email. As it was the first time hearing that the trilogy of books is only 1 year before Guild Wars 2, do you think that the characters from the books will be present in Guild Wars 2? Well then, back to skill capping, almost done now. And he says, ugh, I did it again, last point I promise. Here's a link to a YouTube video that was posted on Guild Wars 2 Guru about the Necromancer. Looks interesting. Okay, so I guess breaking this down point by point here. They said the Bard class would be a great idea if there was a friendly fire mechanic. Now, friendly fire is interesting, I think. When I encounter it now in games, I'm kind of like, whoa, what's going on? APB has a friendly fire mechanic where, you know, your friends will be shooting at each other, and then you'll walk between the crossfire and you actually get hit, and it's a little surprising. They haven't mentioned anything about that, have they?
They have not. All I can think is that anybody wants friendly fire has not played with me.
Yeah, if they have friendly fire, do not group with Ruby, right? Interesting.
Yeah, because I'm going to just apologize now.
They
haven't mentioned anything. Again, though, it would make sense. So, yeah. In my mind, it's not out of the question.
Yeah, that's one of the things we have to ask them to one day.
I wonder if you could cast some sort of spell resistance, some sort of fire resistance on your allies before you go into battle, and then... Isn't it funny how my brain always goes to fire spells?
You're a pyromaniac, aren't you?
Yes.
In real life.
So is my character.
Okay, so this next... the other question he had was an identify all button. I think he's just... Yeah, that would just basically be a convenience thing instead of identifying and identifying. I tend to believe that they're just going to have a completely different system for that. Again, hasn't been said, hasn't been stated or confirmed or anything. I just think that, you know, with the new crafting system, they'll probably have a new identification system set up. Just a hunch.
I can see that.
I don't know. And he also, let's see, what are we looking forward to more than anything else? What would you say?
Oh, I'm going to be so predictable. I need to see the LA skills. I know, but, you know, I like what I like.
Yeah. No,
I'm going to take it back and say I'm looking forward to character creation. I want to know more. What can I do?
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a good point. I'm a big fan of character creation. I would like to see that. I think even where he mentioned that his favorite is guilds, that's a very important part, seeing all the different aspects of guilds. And, you know, will we have guild halls still, and what will they be like, and will they be more important than what we have now? But I think also the Necro and Mesmer information, for me, I want to see about that. So that's kind of the big thing. Another thing, though, I wanted to point out with this is that I'm more excited about things that I can't even imagine right now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm mm-hmm. excited to see how they're going to surprise me more than they already have. So that's kind of...
That's actually a very good point.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm excited about. Okay, so I'm just zooming through these emails here, but it's because we have so many of them. I have to read this one. This one's hilarious. So, Aaron.
Oh, no.
You remember Aaron?
Yes. Hi, Aaron.
I'm saying his name wrong. So
you're always wrong.
I'm horrible. So Aaron... it's actually, he says that it's pronounced Aaron, which, so here's the root of this problem right here, is I'm American, and Aaron is British. So Aaron, he literally says A-H-R-U-N, Aaron. Aaron is the way you would say, I want to know how you would say Sean, because I know it's not Sean, it's like Sean, right?
I think he needs to call us.
Yeah, and pronounce it, yeah, there you go, leave... Let us have an intro. You know, we've been playing intros in the last few shows. Leave us an intro.
Yeah.
Say, tell us exactly how you pronounce it. Because I think last time I said it was Aaron, because of the way he said it was like A-Ron. So I was like, oh, Aaron? So yeah, I just think that's funny. And I want to hear him say Sean too, because I love when British people say my name because it's Shun. I'm not making fun of anyone. I'm just saying. It's just an accent thing.
Okay, so we want an intro from you. Pretty please.
Yes. Okay, so our next email, this is from Mortifact Necrosis again. It says, greetings, it's your favorite neighborhood necromancer, Mortifact Necrosis again, whose name we love. First of all, just to clear things up, Ruby, I am sorry for leaving the guild. Oh, that's right.
Aww.
You mentioned that last week. but I'm getting back into GVG again, and I only have one account, so I couldn't be in both guilds. However, I do want to keep grouping with you guys, so I'll see you on Thursday. Secondly, it boggles my mind. Oh, let me just – Thursday is your Guild Wars massively in-game time, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's when you get together. Now, what is it? Massively Overpowered? Isn't that the name of the guild?
Massively Overpowered. MVOP is the guild tag, and we play – on Thursday nights, actually, and I haven't told anybody in the guild yet, we've been working through prophecies. What we did was start in pre-searing. Mm-hmm. And then we're working through prophecies and factions and Nightfall, but I think we're all getting kind of bored. So we're going to go to Eye of the North next week, and I am so excited about that.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So anyway, but yeah, Thursday nights is we all play together. And, you know, feel free to email me at the Guildcast email if you guys want to come join us.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be just for Massively people or readers.
Can Massively Overpowered too.
I can? You'll let me?
Not you.
Oh, okay.
Not you. Everybody else.
Okay, so his email continues. It says, secondly, it boggles my mind how someone could translate that sandwich board. But anyways, my question for you guys this week is, which of the dragons are you most excited to take down? Well, I don't know if you guys have read up on the dragons, but their backstory is quite interesting. Now, I know most everyone is going to say Zaitan, myself included, because who doesn't love the undead? However, I find the other dragons like Primordius, the first Awoken dragon, who we kind of fought in Eye of the North as he commands the Destroyers, and Jormag, who you can see in Drakkar's Lake in Guild Wars 1, to be very interesting as well. Keep up the great work, and my apologies again to Ruby, Mortifact Necrosis.
Aw, it's okay. I just cry myself to sleep at night.
I honestly haven't been following too much of the details of the dragons. He mentions Drakkar's Lake here. That one actually has always intrigued me just because of the fact that you can, like, see it. You know what I mean? It's, like, in the ice. And that's always been pretty exciting. Again, I'm a big fan of this isn't a cop-out, but I'm a big fan of the undead dragons, you know, the bone dragons and everything. So Zaitan would be quite remarkable fight, plus it's like the big boss, you know.
The one that's got the most press.
Yeah, he's the famous one. He's the spokes dragon for
nice. Well, I have to say I'm gonna go in a slightly different route, and this may be a completely cheesy reason, but I'm gonna stick with it anyway. Primordus, if I am not mistaken, is the dragon that opened his eye at the end of Ogden's Benediction, the end cutscene for Eye of the North. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And that cutscene, I know everybody skips the cutscene, and, you know, OMG, skip noob. I never, ever, ever skip that cutscene because it gives me chills.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that's such a complete fangirl, but it is the most well-done cutscene. And it's undoubtedly my favorite. At the end when he says, the children of the heroes, and that dragon opens his eye, it's like one of my favorite moments in game.
Yeah.
So that is the dragon that I want to come face to face with.
So you want to take his eye out, right?
I want to poke his eye out. Somehow I think that the first time I take him on, he'll be doing the killing.
Yeah. But
I'll get there. But that is absolutely, that was the pinnacle of Eye of the North for me right there.
Yeah.
I loved it so much.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, this next email is insanely long, so I'm not going to read all of it. Wow, it's really... okay, so it's... this is from...
Oh, geez.
I know, I'm trying to see where I can paraphrase and where I can cut out here, but... okay, so it says, hey there, Ruby and Sean. Ever since the new guild cast, my ears opened for your speculations. It's a joy hearing all these opinions and ideas on the upcoming game features. Right now, I feel obliged to join in, hoping that the sequel to Guild Wars will be as amazing as we all envision it. Firstly, I want to share some thoughts on transportation. Asurrogates are said to be one of the main transporting devices. Therefore, I take it that they are found in many settlements, including towns and areas that are affected by events. Perhaps you can recount the interviews in May when ArenaNet explained events with the example of centaurs successfully invading a human outpost. The question I have for you to speculate on is what happens to the Asurrogates in that outpost? Does it shut down? Can the centaurs break it, or do they invade other points of the map? And how do players access a remote region without an Asurrogate working? Let's just stop there and answer that, because I think that's actually interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm going to point to another game here. Actually, it's a dead game now. Tabula Rasa. The way that that game worked actually was a lot like this, where they had these little outposts, and then these alien ships would drop. Aliens would come out and attack the outpost, and it was your job to either defend the outpost, but if you didn't, they literally took it over, killed all the NPCs, took over the waypoints, so you couldn't warp into that city. You know what I mean? So if you wanted, like, let's say you look on your map and they were either red or I think it was blue, depending on who owned the cities, the bad guy NPCs or the players. So if you saw red dots on your map over a city, that meant that you can't warp there. So if you want to get to that city and do the quests from those NPCs, you have to warp to a nearby city, run all the way to the city, which wasn't very far, and then take the city back with, of course, you need a group of friends. And then that will bring, actually, then a jet will land and all the NPCs will come out, and then you can get the quests there. So what I'm thinking, now, of course, that was it's also an NCSoft game. I don't know anything about borrowing from other games, how that works. That was pretty much a Richard Garriott thing, that he thought up. So I don't know how the shareable, I don't know how shareable it is to use stuff like that. But if they use something like that, where the centaurs took over a city kind of the same way, and then it locked the waypoints, I think that would be really exciting. I mean, that would be fun to have that purpose, to have to go back and take over the city to get that gate reopened, don't you?
I really do, and it fits. I mean, given the attention that ArenaNet is paying to logical progression in gameplay, I hate to keep saying it makes sense, but it fits and it works. I mean, why would you be able to? Why would they take over that town and then leave the waypoint open so you could get in and take them out more easily?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, at least make us work for it.
Yeah, definitely. he kind of expands a little bit on that idea throughout this email, but I wanted to touch on this other point he has talking about the Savari, which I'm so interested in. I love the Savari.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I want to mention my disappointment at the race introduction video for that cheesy attempt of Kaith, the Savari, to criticize the new Asura's view of magic. Her sentences about the flow of magic sound like centuries of experience. Coming from a 25-year-old Savari, is that not the time of their creation? He says, it sounds odd. I thought Savari were a new race, curious and inexperienced. That is supposed to be their flaw, the thing that sets them apart from elves. Now, I really hope Kaith is an exception and other Savari are not as arrogant about their flow of magic. On another note, I'm looking forward to the Order of the Chaos Temple. You know who? He says, you don't know who they are? Well, neither do I. But one of Daniel Dicot's award-winning Guild Wars 2-related artworks is called The Order of Chaos Temple. And it certainly looks like a messed-up, chaotic place. Perhaps it lies on the shores of Risen Ore, or the emptied halls of a religion long lost. But possibly the chaotic Templars are some sort of enemy, dragon worshippers, or other madmen. Whatever the case, I look forward to entering the Chaos Temple, and I'm curious how chaotic and dissonant the background music will be in that place. And he says, whoa, many questions. So let me finish by saying I really love your podcast, and I thoroughly enjoy reading the Flame Seekers Chronicles over at Massively.
Oh, thank you.
So long, Sren Woodlock, who started with a mesmer and will not give up on that amazing class for Guild Wars 2. P.S. Thank you for the guide to the Dragon Festival, Ruby. It was helpful to me since I am only playing Guild Wars for about a year, starting off with Nightfall, then Eye of the North, and Prophecies, not really getting anywhere yet in factions. Yes, a little shout out there for your massive
work. This is like my favorite person. I love this guy.
I wanted to read that part about the Savari because I think that's absolutely right. You know, the Savari are a 25-year-old race around there. You know, it's a fairly new race that has evolved. But they make sure to point out the fact that they've spread quickly. You know, they learn quickly. While it might, like to our human brains, seem kind of peculiar that they're talking like they have all these years of experience about magic to the Asura, but it's to them, you know, maybe 25 years is 250 years to them. You know, it's like dog years or something, where it's it's just a different thing. You know, they learn faster, they can retain knowledge faster, and that's the way I look at it. I think it's just a kind of retention speed at which they can retain knowledge. You know.
Well, they have the advantage of the Dream of Dreams, too, which is mm-hmm. that I probably just said that wrong. But they have that mass consciousness.
Yeah.
And they've got, and that's an advantage, that they're all basically working together and sharing this knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that really ramps it up.
Yeah. I have to say, I mean, I want to play in a, well, again, there's that caveat. I'm going to play every race.
Yes.
But I want to play in Asura because I love the whole Asura thing. I love their whole attitude. I love their whole, like, kind of mechanical, gadgety type of thing. I love that so much. Uh-huh. So I'm definitely making Asura. I'm not crazy about the little tininess of them, although that's not really a big deal to me. I play a gnome in World of Warcraft, so it's not a huge thing. But the Savari, I love the nature side of them, you know, and the fact that they're kind mm-hmm. of this mystical, you know, race that has kind of grown out of nature. I really love that. So I'm going to, I don't want to commit to saying those are going to be my first two because, it's just, I have a reason
because
for playing
every, your mind.
Yeah. And I have a reason for playing every one of them. You know, I can't wait to play a char because I want to be the big, bad furry dude. I can't wait to play a human so I can be the kind of descendant of my, you know, my other characters from Guild Wars 1. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be, the first day when Guild Wars 2 comes out, it's going to be just I'm going to make one of everything and then start playing.
And then explode.
Yeah, then explode and put myself back together, yeah. Okay, so on to this next email. This is from Takio. He says, actually the subject is Takio's back. And I probably pronounced that wrong too, I apologize. I'm horrible.
You suck.
It says, hello, Sean and Ruby. Hello, Ruby and Sean. That way everyone is happy. I'm happier because you actually mentioned the Sean and Ruby one first.
I knew you were going to say that.
Okay, it says, some time ago I read somewhere that guild invites wouldn't be account-based on Guild Wars 2, but character-based. So it would be possible to be in multiple guilds. Is this true? I think I've heard that too, that it's going to be like that. Have you heard anything?
I've just heard the little rumors. I have to say, I kind of hope so.
Yeah, me too, actually. I think it's kind of restricting a little bit when you can't well, I think one big thing is like family. Like when my daughter wants to play Guild Wars, she'll play mm-hmm. on a new character on my account and everyone will be like, Sean, you know, like, hey, come help me do this. And my daughter's like, what's going on? And you know, there's always that argument you can get another account, especially since there's no monthly fee, which we've done. But I just think that it would be nice to kind of separate. Well, Takio doesn't like that. He says, I personally hate this idea. A player should be a member of a guild he likes. If he doesn't, he should leave. Being in multiple guilds is a conflict of interest. Now, that I guess that kind of goes more into the fact that, you know, the guild-related side of that. That part of it I can see. I wouldn't mind having it to where you can, you know, you're not account-based as far as identification. But once anyone on your account joins a guild and everyone in that account is in that guild, mm-hmm. I could see that just for that whole dedication thing. Even though there are games that I play where I have multiple characters and they're all in different guilds, you know, which is I always feel a little funny about that. I don't know.
You know, where I'm coming from on this is that sometimes I just like to kind of fly under the radar sometimes. Mm. And you can't do that. You can't do that in Guild Wars, because even if you log in and go offline, and it sounds antisocial, but sometimes you just want to relax and play and not mess with anybody. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. It's just that, you know, sometimes you want to do that.
Yeah.
And even if you log in and set yourself offline, and I guess especially in such an instanced world, at some point you're going to be in a town or someplace, and an alliance mate is going to come along behind you and be like, oh, I see you. Hi. And then you're going, okay, you've still got the glaring gold tag. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's good to just log onto an alt and run around and do your thing and relax a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. That's an issue I've had with Guild Wars here and there and, you know, in different things. And there are many different reasons, I guess, on both sides. But, yeah, I can see it. I think either way, though, if they keep the same system they have now, you know, we can always get a second account, I guess, or whatever, but that gets kind of expensive. But,
yes.
I don't know. So he goes on, he says, I have a good suggestion. How about when a person joins the guild leader could access some sort of player record and see stuff like the guilds where he was or currently is, times the member was kicked, times he got banned, dishonor points, stuff like that. On the last episode, someone suggested a guildcast guild. I kind of like the idea, but I can totally see Sean's point. Being a guild leader is a really hard job, and in most times an ungrateful one. I'm not the leader in a guild I'm at, but I do most of the work, and personally, I want my me time back. Yeah, exactly. It's not only that, though. I mean, that is a big part of it, but it's also the fact that I think people deserve more attention from a guild leader than I'm able to give, And that's really it. You know, it's not about me and feeling bad for me for doing all this work, because I'm not afraid of work. It's just that I think that I really don't have that time to be a good leader, and I think that people deserve that. So that's really all that is.
I think the fact that you're not afraid of work is kind of what's preventing you from having the time to dedicate to this.
Yeah, that's a good point. He says, oh, Sean, read this out loud. Game mechanics, game mechanics, game mechanics. There, he says, there, you just pissed off a few more people. Oh, I didn't say it. What do you guys think about adding a video feed to your show? You could still keep a separate file for those who like listening on their MP3, just a thought. So, wait, would that mean that we would have to film ourselves, like record video? That would be crazy.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah. I won't be doing
it. I'm like looking behind me at the big basket of laundry that needs to be put away, going, man, I can't let people see that. I don't have the time to build a backdrop.
Since I'm working on my kitchen, the kitchen is actually attached to this room right here. And all of the stuff in the kitchen, like tables and chairs, they're just stacked up in this room behind me. And it's like a maze. So that's what you guys would be seeing right now. Yeah, nobody wants to see that.
Well, and what I call my office I have delusions of grandeur. What I call my office is a corner of my bedroom, and I don't really want you people in my bedroom. I like you and all, but no.
Not that much. he finishes it off. He says, this is it for now. Cheers from Tachio. Keep up the good work. P.S. Sean still didn't get the name right, but it's okay. No worries. Okay. Is it Tachio? Tachio?
You know what? He needs to give us an intro, too.
Yes.
If we pronounce your name wrong, send an intro.
There you go. That's the answer to every bad pronunciation I do, is
I agree.
Give us an intro. All right. He says, by the way, Sean, check out my Guild Wars comedy series I'm making. And he has a YouTube link there. We'll have to put that in the show notes.
Cool.
Yeah. All righty. So let's see. Next email. This is it says, hi from... Marit. Geez, speaking of spelling, another intro here. Mauritius? Mauritius? Yeah, I'm just going to say Mauritius. Mauritius.
Mauritius, it sounds like to me.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, Sean and Ruby. Thanks for your great show, and it's undeniable that you guys love Guild Wars, and you are not alone. I'm known on Massively by the name of Gunja. Oh, okay. I think I know Gunja. But I'm mostly known by the name of Valder on various MMOs, and mostly your only listener from, oh, that's the name of a country, Mauritius. Wow, I'm an idiot. In the Indian Ocean, This is in the Indian Ocean, and I did not know that. Can't wait to see the launch of Guild Wars 2, and my first character will be a human elementalist as my character in Guild Wars. Ruby, I love your laughs. There you go. There's one right there. As they are so uplifting. It reminds me of the song, a Rush song, Spirit of Radio. Wow. Your laughs are like Spirit of Radio?
I gotta go listen to that song.
That's a good song. Keep doing what you do best, and the magic will go on. P.S. I am Valdur Hanatar, son of Kinuvar, the son of Kinvaras. I think I might be close on all those, but...
I am, like, crying over here.
Intro. 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 Okay, here we go. Here's another one. This one.
If we could just get somebody named Bob to write it, that would be great.
This one, it says, Hi, Sean and Ruby. I've recently discovered that you guys started Guildcast again, and I'm thrilled. Although I only listened to Guildcast 1.0 sporadically, I intend to keep on track of Guildcast 2.0. Now for my question, or rather, questions. Number one, what feature in Guild Wars 1 would you like to see returned, possibly unchanged, in Guild Wars 2?
Ooh. That's hard.
I would like to see heroes still being available.
Oh, yes, please. But I think we know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe they'll change their minds.
Please, if we beg enough. Everyone beg.
Pretty please. Yeah, because that'll work.
So, what do you say? Well, we already got Ellie.
I'm happy. I'm all good. No, you know what? I don't know how much unchanged this matters, but I want to go back to Cantha. I want to go back to Alona.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and I guess I'm kind of skirting the question here because we already know that Cantha and Alona are very, very changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shoot.
Maybe they'll have a DeLorean, and you'll be able to go back in time if you go 88 miles an hour.
Would be perfect. That's what I want. I want a DeLorean in Guild Wars 2. A DeLorean mount.
That'd be awesome. Okay, number two. What feature in Guild Wars 1 would you like to see removed in Guild Wars 2, and why? Master Togo.
Sold. How about I've lost the phrase. The character specific armor. I would love to be able. I mean, that's kind of unique to Guild Wars. And it's not that, you know, I want to go around and take everybody's clothes. But I'm an armor fanatic, and I would love to see more variety there.
Yeah.
Because they know their stuff as far as armor. They have created some amazing, amazing designs. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see that expand and improve.
Okay. Actually, I should be reading these, but she puts her answers to these questions after this. So for the first one, for which feature in Guild Wars would you like to see unchanged, she puts the ease of which you can maintain and organize a guild or alliance, and the good thing is it's actually going to improve. I know Guild Wars 2 is going to have a lot of improvements on guild and alliance-wise, as the ability to join multiple guilds, guild calendars, and the ability to access guild chat through a web browser. Oh, that's right. That is true. The guild maintenance in Guild Wars is just so low and easy, although still a great responsibility, as opposed to the other MMOs where running a guild feels like taking two full-time jobs and juggling a family of angry bears.
That is so true.
And for the second one, for which one would you like to see removed in Guild Wars? She puts heroes. Oh, come on, you're killing me. In my opinion, they absolutely destroy the multiplayer effect, which I hold dear, in Guild Wars 1, which is an MMO after all. Although, by now we know that most of Guild Wars 2 is going to be soloable and that you can receive a sidekick. All I can personally hope for is that they don't decide to add more than just the sidekick. The main reason I play games like Guild Wars is so that I can do a difficult mission or a hard quest together with some people and then have a laugh about it, or if we fail... about it if we fail, or a thrill if we complete it. Most of the people on my friends list are pre-heroes from when I had to do missions together with other people who I eventually befriended. I can see that. And that's always the argument against heroes, you know, is that you're not really you know, playing with other people. And I have friends from, you know, pre-heroes too, and I can see that. I just like that option, I guess. You know, you're not forced to use heroes, but I like the option of being able to use heroes, I guess. So,
you know, I do. I really, really do see the point, and I am absolutely not antisocial in game. I promise that. But that goes back to what I said before. Sometimes I just want to fly under the radar. I'm tired, and I'm just here to relax for 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I guess it's lazy, but sometimes it's easier just to throw together a few heroes, go do your thing, and then you have to get back to your day.
Yeah.
So I don't, but it's not antisocial. I do like the option. I don't use it much. I like to have it.
Yeah, and I think that's just important that it's an option, you know. Now, the next question she has is, what feature would you personally love to see in Guild Wars 2? I think we pretty much covered that, I think. We talked about, mm-hmm. you know, things that we still don't know about yet, you know, things that can surprise us. But her answer, she puts, in all honesty, I can't think of a feature that hasn't been announced already, but I'll express my excitement over the marketplace. For those who didn't know, it's basically an auction house. Finally, one of those few things I absolutely hated in Guild Wars 1 was to try and sell an item, wasting away time in LA or Spamadon, trying to sell that gold or green you just got a while ago. Now, finally, we can deposit an item for sale and go do a quest. Not to mention, it's pretty neat that you can monitor the progress on a web browser. Yeah, I would have to agree. That's definitely going to
be cool. I absolutely do love that.
Yeah. Fourth question, what confirmed feature would you rather not see in Guild Wars 2, if any? Elementalists.
Ooh. Hey! And Mesmers.
Oh.
So they're touche.
That hasn't been confirmed, though. So.
Shut up with your logic and your being smart. There's no room for that here.
I would have to say nothing. I mean, that's so fanboy of me, but seriously, I think everything has been pretty cool so far.
Everything I've heard, I've absolutely been crazy about, and I'm like you. It sounds, well, not fanboy, but it sounds like fangirl thing, but there is not one thing I've seen where I've said, oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, well, her answer is actually, to be honest, I'm not fond of the new skill system. 10 skill slots sounds cool, but 1 reserve for healing, 1 reserve for res, and 5 weapon-dependent skill slots leaves only 3 customizable skills. The fact that you can customize the build the way you liked it was one of the main features which drew me into Guild Wars 1, which also makes me sad to see the secondaries take their leave. Although we haven't actually seen how the adding and removing skills works in-game, I'm not too confident I will like it. Actually, that point about the secondaries taking their leave, mm-hmm. I guess I could say that's one thing that I'm kind of sad to see go. I always enjoyed that. But.
I guess. I have to disagree with this because the combination of skills, traits, and attributes really, and I've argued this before, I just really, really think it's going to be even more versatile. Mm-hmm. The limitations that everybody's worried about, I just don't think are going to be a factor.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think the skill system is actually going to be, it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be, I don't think that we really know until we play with it. You know, we're not going to really know. I mean, right now we're just kind of imagining it and what it's mm-hmm. supposed to be like. But I just have a feeling we'll be surprised by it pleasantly.
Yeah. For the time being, we'll just drool and speculate.
Yeah, which is pretty much what we do on the show.
Yeah, it's okay, though.
That's why we don't do a video, actually. All the drool. okay, so the last question here. What confirmed feature are you most excited about?
Crafting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would definitely be one. If I had to pick one, I mean, that's... Boy, I don't know. I think that, I can't even think of one because I keep thinking like, oh, there's this. Oh, wait, yeah, there's this. I don't know. I think that the battle, the thing that really got me when I first heard about it was the whole kind of fighting thing, the bar brawl thing where you can take any piece of like a table and, you know, fight with that. And I really like that. I think that I'm excited to see how that works. I don't know if that's what I'm most excited about. It's just kind of the first thing that I thought of.
I just got curious. You know, the bar brawls we were talking earlier about Friendly Fire. I'm wondering if that's going to be an issue in bar brawls. Can I just wander in and have a drink? Or am I going to get hit in the head with a piece of chair, even if I'm not involved?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure if they've confirmed that or not, but I'm sure someone will let us know.
Yeah, so anyway, sorry, go ahead.
So, yeah, so her answer is dynamic events is what she's most excited about. This really gives the feeling of a living, breathing world. A lot has been explained, but not a lot has been shown. I'm really excited about this feature, so much, in fact, that I don't really have a lot to say about it. glad to see you guys are back. I'll keep my eyes and ears open for the next episode. Oramir Elmdeer.
Intro.
Elmdeer. Elmeldeer. There.
All male deer? What? Intro. Bring it
intro.
On.
Intro. Yes. Okay. We are not going to get through all these emails. There's like 10 left. So I'm going to read. I'm going to read the next one here. Let's see. This one's pretty. Oh, this is a really quick one. This one is from. Oh, it's from Takeo or Takeo. He says, "I found this on guildmag.com. You've probably seen this before, but just in case, I'm sending it. And this is a little interview that they did. PC Gameplay talks with Guild Wars. And this is something you talked about this actually on Massively, didn't you? About this article." Mm-hmm. I think you got this too, because I showed you the link. But this is the one that talks about. I don't think it had anything new, did it? It just kind of talks about like what we know up to this point.
This was the PC Gameplay interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was actually I talked about this subject, but if I remember correctly, you showed it to me, and I was like, we kind of already did that.
Yeah.
But it was. I actually looked. It was a very good interview. It was a nice wrap up.
So, I will go ahead and read one more just because,
that was fast.
Yeah, because that was a fast one. This one is from Felidin Windlore. Yes, I know that one. I think.
Yay!
I think.
Oh, please write in and tell me you did it wrong. Please.
He says, "Hello. So my previous mail was rather short as I was sitting on the bus with my phone. I'll try to rectify that by saying I love your podcast and it'd be great if you could send it more often." Wait, more than once a week? Are you crazy?
Dude, I'm tired.
As for the old pods, which I never heard, shame, will they be available on iTunes? They are present on iTunes, but I'm not able to download them. Yeah, actually, I wanted to mention that. I did put every single episode, well, except for 74, which is a video episode, every other episode on the website. If you go to guildcast.wordpress.com, there's a little tab there that says old episodes. Click on that, and it'll have in order from 1 to 96, every episode except 74. Most of them I was able to find the show notes again. Archive.org is a great website. They archive the internet, essentially, since like 1995. And they take, you know, they basically take the way the sites were. Now, it's not, I went back to it and it was showing, actually, it's kind of funny. It reminded me that I used to have a different design for Guildcast a long time ago, back in, I think, 2005, 2006.
Oh, really?
But they don't archive it. They only archive it every few months. So I was able to grab it and do, you know, grab the show notes from certain ones, but there's chunks that are missing. Like, I think in the 30s, I'm missing a few of the show notes, and in the 20s, too. But pretty much everything is up there. I'm still working on getting that set up, but as far as the RSS feed and getting it into iTunes, that's become a little bit more of a project than I first thought. So I'm still working on that. Should still be possible. I still have the RSS feed available to me, so I can try to set that back up. What I'm hoping it'll do is replace what's there now, because, like he said, there's a list. You click on it, and it doesn't open a file because there's no – like the RSS is still there, but the files attached to the RSS aren't there. So it's kind of confusing. Anyway – so he says, "I have two thoughts I'd love for you to elaborate on in the podcast." And here they are. First, fire. "Well, I choose fire as it will set a cool subject to the mail. We have discussed this in our guild as well, and it's about the combo fighting and how we have a game where it's okay to be nice and helpful. For example, a lone elementalist is off somewhere and starts a fight with an oak heart. He pulls up a wall of fire behind it and starts pummeling with water tridents to make it go backwards into the fire. While this is happening, a ranger is running by and sees a wall of fire. He gets out his bow and starts firing from behind through the fire, and the Oakheart is hit by the fire arrows. As this is rather simple, so where is the big difference from the other MMOs? Well, the big difference is that the Elementalist won't get furious over the kill stealing, or a damaged skill combo, or a lost loot drop, which is, you know, basically what happens in all other MMOs. And I'm actually, as a side note here, I'm glad you pointed that out, because right now, when you help other people randomly in an MMO, people get pissed off. You know, like if you heal someone, they're like, oh, thanks a lot, now you just took some XP away from me for joining, you know. And it's like, it completely does the opposite of promoting socialization.
It defeats the purpose.
Yeah, so I'm glad he pointed that out. So he goes on, he says, instead, this will ease his job somewhat and both walk away happy. This isn't just unique in MMO worlds, it's revolutionary. People will actually not have a reason to whine and yell, but to enjoy each other's company. Something at least I have missed from the MMO world for a long time. Imagine a pug without the monk hate. Yes, that's something we've talked about too. A big thing in Guild Wars 1 has always been that people, with some exceptions in town, chat during events. And this has been nice and helpful to new players and to those who aren't that excellent at the game. And I really love how this new installment of the game has made a strong leap forward towards making a game where people don't lose something on being nice and trying to be helpful. So what he's saying is, you know, it's good to actually promote being nice and helpful. That's something that we don't really see in a lot of games. Second, water. There's been a lot of talk on the podcast about flight and flying mounts. I think one of the first announcements from Eric Flanham was that they have not considered flight, but rather swimming. The first video showed a large undersea area, and there's been it's been announced that most, if not all, dungeons will involve underwater areas, and large parts of the explorable world will in fact be underwater. One of the reasons for underwater instead of air was that it's more coherent with a real world to have boundaries underwater than in air. Underwater areas have natural boundaries in the form of ocean floor and land masses, although I doubt a Pacific-sized area. So more speculations on underwater adventuring would be fun. Perhaps something around the mysterious orb that, when removed, would awake some ancient sea beast that then starts interfering with ship routes. So here, a bit down on the page, and he puts a link to the dynamic events overview that we've talked about. And that's just, like I said, we've talked about that. It's just kind of, you know, hitting his point mm-hmm. home there. Okay, so this is a rather long email. Do your best to shorten it. Well, I read the whole thing. All I want are some comments on this being an MMO for working together and the underwater exploration. With regards, Felidon Windlore. Yeah, so I think, you know, I talked a lot about the working together thing. I think that's important. I think ArenaNet definitely recognizes that. As far as the underwater exploration, it's another thing that they have early on highlighted as a feature. You know, they're saying, you know, you can swim now. It's great. You know, no longer will you be walking into 1 foot of water and then hit an invisible wall, which is exciting. I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about not only just being underwater, but the exploration, you know, the possibilities, the expansions that you can do from there, you know, finding, like if they want to decide to later on put a, you know, a new expansion for a cave system or something like that, they can just add that really easily. I just think it's a pretty cool little dynamic. And a lot of games have it already, but it'll be fun to see it in Guild Wars.
I really like it. I'm very curious about something that they said before, that we can swim around without worrying about running out of air.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to happen. It's going to be like a skill or something.
Maybe the Asura made us some sort of helmet, like a fishbowl thing to stick on our heads.
It'd be like SpongeBob. Right? It'd be like little sandy helmets.
All right. I want my player housing to be a pineapple. I'm just going to say that now.
That... Yes, that would be interesting. Well, yeah, I think that it's just, I don't know, it's another exciting part of it. You know, it kind of in the grand scheme of things that we're really excited about exploring.
Yes, please. Now, please.
Yeah. All right, well, that's all the emails that I'm going to read because We're like an hour and
a half. Tired.
Yeah. But like I said, there's still lots of emails left here. We will get to them in the next episode. And speaking of the next episode, something that we can not talk about now, but we can talk about then. It'll be next week. And I'm very excited to talk about it because it's extremely important to, and Ruby's probably like, wait, what are you talking about?
I wish you could see the face I'm making going, wait, is this a surprise? What?
Well, you do know about it, but you probably don't. I'm being cryptic on purpose.
Yes, I know.
Okay, so that will be for next week, and it's very exciting. We'll talk about that. So that will be an incredible show. And we'll try to get to the rest of these emails, too.
Yeah. You know what? I put that other thing out of my mind because I'm mostly just jealous, and I'm trying not to think about it. That's I'm on track, aren't I?
Yes, you are. All right, so if you want to send us email, send it to either Sean@guildcast.com or Ruby, R-U-B-I, @guildcast.com, and or both of us, which is a lot of people do, which is great. And we will read it on the air.
Because somebody doesn't forward emails to me, so.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. You know,
because you don't have anything better to do.
If I were any kind of real host, I would make one centralized email, and then it would just go to both of us. But
guildcast@guildcast.com.
Yeah, no. You can email us at either of those, and we'll read it on the show. And also, we have the Twitter where we usually talk about like when the next show is up, and different things like that. Actually, it's mostly just when the next episode is up. But at least I usually tweet like the second that I put the show up. So if you're one of those people that just has to know the second it's up, then that's where you'll find it right there.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, and also we have a Facebook group, a little Facebook group where people can. There's like a little discussion. You know, you can get on the wall there and discuss stuff, and kind of in lieu of having a forum, I guess. And also the comments section, of course, at Guildcast, at our Guildcast site, which is guildcast.wordpress.com. You can talk in the comments there, which a lot of people have been doing. It's sparking some really great conversation. So definitely encourage everyone to do that. So that's all we have this week. Whoa, wait just 1 minute. Show's not over yet. We have a special treat for you. We recorded a little interview we did with Felicia Day from the Guild. And it's in one part of it, she actually talks a little bit about her work with Guild Wars 2 on the Guild Wars 2 trailer as the voice of the Asura named Zoja. So this interview is actually for Massively Speaking, which is another podcast that Ruby and I do. And I thought I would include it here. And I hope you don't mind the show being a little bit late, but this is the reason for it. So enjoy. Welcome to the show, Felicia.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, certainly. It's we've seen you all over the place lately. It seems like ever since the Guild, you've been an actress in various shows here and there. And what really kind of tipped us over the edge in wanting to get you on the show is when we heard you on the Guild Wars 2 trailer.
Yeah.
That was last year, and so it's really exciting to have you on the show. Again, welcome.
I'm very excited about that it was kind of a dream come true. I'd never done a voice in anything, and they are fans of my work, and they called and said, would you like to do a voice? And I can't say that I could be any happier than the character that they gave me, because I feel like I'm a little like a tiny alien in person anyway.
So it fit well.
It definitely is more appropriate than the hot, like, tall redhead character they have. I hate to insult myself like that, but let's just be real.
Aww.
It's okay. I think Zoja is adorable. I kind of want a full size character of her in my room.
Yeah, if they had like a stuffed animal or something, a stuffed little Asura, that would be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be super cool. It would sell a lot. Actually, one of the things I got for my birthday this year, a couple weeks ago at my party, is a stuffed Boomer from Left 4 Dead.
Oh, nice.
Are you serious?
It's a plush you can get. It is literally the cutest stuffed animal I have seen. And if you squeeze its hand, it goes rah, 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 kind of like it does in the game. And it sounds a little like a Murloc. So I have a stuffed Boomer and a stuffed Murloc in my office. And a stuffed Zoja would be like, that would complete the set, I think.
Oh, I hope a stuffed Zoja comes from this.
Yes, oh, please. Yeah. Somebody should listen to this and make that happen.
I'm just curious, like, did you voice that character throughout the game as well, or just the trailer itself?
I haven't actually gone in past recording the trailer yet, but I know that they intend for me to go back to record more. So I think, I'm not exactly sure, but I think that I'm supposed to go back and record a little bit more through there. I think those are representative characters for the storylines. I just think, you know, as a fan of MMOs, all the articles I've been seeing have been coming out on the game make me excited as a player, because it seems like they're really trying to differentiate themselves from WoW, which is cool because WoW is like so good at what it does. And I think the change that they're making, just as a fan, when I'm reading what they're releasing, I'm just really excited to have that contrast and be able to enjoy both kinds of games at the same time. So, yeah, I think they're really doing some innovative stuff, and I think people, it could like infuse some really fun ideas into the genre.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be really great. I think everybody's excited about it.
Yeah, the graphics look amazing.
Oh, aren't they gorgeous?
Yeah, I saw the Warrior trailer, and I was like, wow, I might play a warrior for once.
I actually really like what you said about trying to differentiate from WoW, because something that we've talked about quite a bit lately is if you try to be WoW, if you try to knock WoW off your throat, it's not going to go well.
Just yeah,
because
no.
WoW does its thing, and it does it really, really well.
Mm. Yeah.
And trying to copy isn't going to end well for you.
No, and I think it's the same thing with anything, though. If you, it's like a TV show. Like if somebody, you know, Big Bang Theory is really funny, but if somebody comes and tries to do a Big Bang Theory-like show, it's going to be awful, because if another network tried to do one and steal that sort of concept, it's not going to be good, because it's like, why should I do that over the original that does it so well? You know, you really should either improve upon something or just differentiate yourself from everybody else. And I think that that's so smart that they're making these moves to really reinvent things that you think have to be in this genre. So, you know, like the death penalty and all these changes in the game that I've read about. I need to pull some strings and play some of this stuff, actually. I don't know why I haven't.
Oh,
I wish I had time. They weren't at E3. I don't think Guild Wars 2 was at E3.
No, they weren't.
So I think they're going to be at Comic-Con, though, so...
Yeah, they're going to have some artists there. And they're going to be – it's going to be hands-on at Gamescom in Germany.
Oh, excellent. Somebody should have invited me to that.
And the PAX in Seattle, too. They're going to be hands-on there, too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so, no, it's definitely a privilege. And, you know, it's one of my dreams to have done a voice in a game. And now I've done two voices in two games just because people know my work. And that it's such a compliment. It's so cool that I get to do – this weird career that I've created where people who I'm a fan of want to hire me because they're a fan of what I do. And also I get to tax deduct all gaming expenses, which is the best job ever.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
It's the best ever. I don't even know why I would ever want to do anything different.
Well, actually, talking about doing that voice work for the game, you mentioned how you got this gig in the first place. Is that they called you, they were familiar with you. But what can you tell us about the experience, about actually going in and recording?
Recording voices is definitely an art form into itself. Like, if you see any kind of entertainment, like sitcom acting is completely different from soap opera acting, which is completely different from, like, our drama acting, which is pretty different from, like, indie film acting. So, and improv is different from stage, different from Shakespeare. There are a lot of subtleties in the different ways that you are an artist as an actor. And I hadn't done a lot of voice work before. But so going in there and seeing the other voice actors do their voices was such a learning experience. I had done a couple cartoons before that. So at least I was familiar with using the mic and just the technical aspects of voiceover. And there are a lot of them, on top of the fact that you have to portray everything with your voice. So you have to be much more expressive in a way that would seem fake if you were delivering a line to an actual person in a scene context. But when you're it's only you and a mic, and you have to close your eyes and see what is this going to sound like to someone. So it's definitely was challenging, but also really fun. I tried to invent a voice that was a little bit different from my own. So it's a little more high pitched and a little more cartoony in a sense. And we worked together to try to come up with like exactly how that was going to sound and what was working for them and what wasn't, and just make it appropriate to the character, design. So, it was a collaborative effort, and, I'm really proud of it, and I'm excited to get back in the booth and do some more work on it.
So there you have it. I hope you all enjoyed that little clip of the interview that we did with Felicia Day. And if you want to listen to the entire interview, you can check it out on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, on Massively Speaking. That's a podcast over at massively.com. If you look over on the right sidebar, there will be a little graphic for it, and you can listen to it right there. Or you can, of course, subscribe or download it from there. In the interview, we talk a lot more about more general MMO type information, a little bit of history on Felicia and her MMO gaming, and we also, of course, talk about the new Season 4 of The Guild, which is coming out on Tuesday. So give that a listen, and we will talk to you next week on Guildcast.
And I'm just going to get another drink.